So let's welcome Jay as he comes and share that word. Let's continue to press into his presence tonight. Let's welcome Jay.
Tonight is our call to prayer, and I want to stay in our theme of our church theme is of the grace of God, and I want to stay in the theme that I have joined with us is seeing the generations come into the full dimensions and promise and ultimate intention of the Lord. So as we're doing that, let's keep that as a inspiration to what we're doing. Whenever you see triplicates in the scripture, you have to take notice. The blood is in three dimensions in a triplicate. Fellowship is in three dimensions. The peace of God is in three dimensions. Discipleship is in three dimensions. Issues of the seed are in three dimensions. Whenever you see that, there's a sovereignty of God that comes whenever there's something in a triplicate, just like with him. Grace is one of those. And so I want to bring us through these three dimensions of grace in just a short amount of time, a few minutes before we move into some real time of prayer, and declare these things to us so that we might see them. And then I'm going to come back and just kind of capstone it all. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm sure the pastors have done a fine job, and I hope I'm not repeating stuff that they said, but I didn't ask them, and they didn't tell me. I love this time period of prayer. I love this whole thing that we're doing tonight. And there are many ways of prayer, and I guess I could have went that way tonight, but I really felt like this is the way to go. But what I always want to do is pray the prayer of God. I think you can be right with that prayer, yes? But he doesn't mind supplication. He doesn't mind us asking. It's all part of it. So there isn't a thing of as we release things tonight that there's a certain thing or way that we need to do it. But I certainly do want us to hear these three. I'm going to read them, talk about them for a few moments, then invite Pastor Sean back up here just to begin for us. Ephesians chapter 2. It is in so many places, but this is the beginning for you and I. Verses 8 and 9, I believe. It's hard for me to pop into a text like this because the verses before are just incredible about his resurrection. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, I think I did verse 8, but they're good with me back there. Yeah, did we just do 8? King James Version 2, Stephen, he's my man. You know how I feel about him. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We know that. Acts chapter 4, that's the first dimension. I'm going to talk about it in a moment. Acts chapter 4, the second dimension, if you don't mind me using that. I love this. It's approximately 4 years, almost 5 years, into the new established kingdom of God. And these new believers are, they're just rolling. And so John and James have been threatened, and they're praying, which I want to happen tonight. They're praying for boldness to speak the word. Okay? And let's pick up Acts chapter 4. See which verse I gave you, my friend up there. Okay, verse 31 will be good. So they're praying, and they pray a very simple prayer about Jesus, the holy child Jesus, stretching forth his hand to heal with signs and wonders. We're absolutely believing that. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word with boldness. And the multitude that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. Notice that little phrase coming up of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Not just grace, but great grace. All right, the final one, and I'm going to say a little bit about it tonight, and I'm going to cover it in full tomorrow. Zechariah, the prophet. So just go to Matthew, and then to Malachi, the only Italian prophet in your Bible. That's good. Malachi, yeah, that's exactly right. No matter how many times you read it, it says the same thing. I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. It's just there. Malachi, and then Zechariah, the beautiful young prophet of the Restoration, chapter 4. If you want, you can spend tomorrow reading this. I'm going to come back to this tomorrow in its fullness. Incredible. I want to capstone our time together before we are with the youth. Zechariah's 5 visions in one night. Here's the fifth one. 8 visions in one night. This is the fifth one. And listen to this. Verse 6. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by any man's ability or any people's ability, nor by power, by their strength, by the strength of an army, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I love verse 7. Watch. I'll talk about it in a few seconds. Who art thou? I think we sang about it. O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone therewith with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Father, thank you for this time that we have together tonight. Father, I do pray for the grace of God to be increased upon each one of us in an incredible way. Thank you that you bestowed upon us it freely, freely. We have done absolutely nothing to receive it. Freely given. It is dimensional, though. Tonight, let there be a greater grace upon us. It's my prayer. It's my declaration. Let us not live in its infancy, but let it be progressive in our lives. Let it be great grace, and let it be grace, grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a few minutes. The word definitely is unmerited favor. I'm sure Pastor said it. That is what grace is in its initial form. But here is the activity of grace. It is defined this way in its Greek form. And it is this: divine influence upon my heart and its reflection in my life. So it's not the struggles and difficulties and hardships that changes me. It's the grace of God that comes with it. The world does not have it. You and I have it. It's what changes my heart. It's what changes our hearts. So when in our inception of getting born again, the first level of grace, by the way, the number 5, just for information for us, the number 5 is the number for grace. The Hebrews always understood that. So when we looked last night at this measuring this temple, there were these 10s. Let me say something in a moment. But on this altar, there were 5 elements in the incense. 5. So it is the grace of God that was upon Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by him. It was on him. And this grace is upon this altar and in our worship and our praise, all of these things. So the number 5 is the number of grace. But did you see this is what I'm believing for tonight, because the grace of God is upon us, is that we're going to begin to pray. You know what their prayer was? They were threatening them. Stop talking about Jesus Christ, or we're going to beat you. This is over. You're going to end up just like the other ones. It's done. And they came back, Peter and John, and he said to their group, what happened? Well, they threatened us. Listen, they rejoiced. They rejoiced that they were threatening him, because they realized that they were having a similar thing as Jesus did. So they got together, they rejoiced, and then they looked up to heaven immediately and prayed. And their prayer was, do you hear their threatenings? They're threatening us. Will you, by the hand of the, listen to this prayer, real mature, real spiritual, by the holy child Jesus, will you bring power and signs and wonders upon all of us. And the place was shaken. Boy, I want that kind of prayer tonight. I want the place shaken. I want us to be shaken tonight. Not fear. Just they must have held on and go. And then upon that, great power came upon the apostles. I don't believe it was just those now 11. I believe it came upon all those people. I know it did. Because there's going to be a guy by the name of Stephen that's going to show up that's no average deacon. Not the ones I've known, except here in this church. That's right. Thank you. At least we're the new breed of deacon. And so the place was shaken. Great power to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ came upon them. And great grace, 10, the number 10, I shared it with you last night. Upon this 10 meant what God had begun, he was going to finish. Tonight in our prayer, I want us to pray boldly and believe boldly for our family, believe boldly for our church, believe boldly for our nation, and begin to declare some things that we know God wants to do, knowing that what he started, he will finish, and what he began in us, he will bring it to its full end. We're not ending this thing wondering about the will of God. We're not ending this thing hoping that we finish it. Oh, no, we're coming to its fullness. We're standing here declaring in this day, this hour of apparent darkness, apparent fear, every newscast is trying to cause us to believe that this is the end of the world. I want you to know, you haven't seen the world yet. Great grace upon us, the number 10. The final one is Zerubbabel. It's the number 15 is the number for grace, grace. There's a triplicate, 3. Got to notice it. Love the word, Old Testament. I'm going to come back to it. The whole chapter is about the two witnesses that will be released into the earth. They show up in the Old Testament. They're not the full dimension of it, but they're the two that stand before the Lord of all the earth. And Zechariah gets this vision, and the vision is the word. The vision is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. I'm not going to go into its context. I'll come back tomorrow night, and we'll do it fully, and you'll see it to understand what was happening, understand what he's going to. But this is what the word is to Zerubbabel. The mountain was whatever stood before him that he could not fulfill the will of God, which is building his temple. What is it tonight? And I love our brother Brandon's and the singers and the worship team song. What is the mountain that stands before us? Maybe I can't move past tomorrow. Maybe I can't move my marriage forward. Maybe I can't move my life forward. Maybe we can't move the church forward. Maybe the church in America just can't seem to move forward because there's a mountain standing before us. Whatever it is that is the hindrance, it's not a person, and whatever it is, it isn't our next door neighbors. Let's get real with this thing. Whatever is standing before us, and I'll talk about what was standing before him. We are saying to that mountain, grace, grace. And by that word, the mountain is made a plain by the sovereign work of God. Let me just tell you where the first time the number 15 shows up, and I'm done. The very first time that's going to show up in dimensions of God is a flood will come into the earth with Noah's ark, and the waters will continually grow until the 40-day period is over. Listen, the highest mountain, I love our Bible, it said the water rose 15 cubits above the highest mountain. What is this grace, grace? It is the Lord bringing us up above everything, much like the wings of the eagle, taking us above everything that could stand against us, that you and I behold everything as if it was a plane, that we see everything that is conquerable and everything he has done in our lives. He has made us more than conquerors, and he has birthed us into his kingdom, that we are conquering people, not conquering men and women, but conquering every demonic, everything that stands against us. Nothing will oppose us. Every sickness, every disease, AIDS, I don't care what it is, name it. It's under the blood, under the name, and we are here in the earth to bring dimensions of God the earth has never known before, a dimension of the Spirit of God, the Word of the Lord, and the power of God, unprecedented, and that is why we are here. And tonight we are going to begin declaring that which the Lord will do, and we're going to believe when one prays or two pray, we're going to stand together and say yes to it, and every word is grace, grace unto our God. Why don't you stand with me for a moment? Pastor Sean, come back. explain how we're going to do this. But I just want to pray the release of God upon us. I don't know how many times or how many services you've been together with us, but it basically comes down to this. All we've got to do is believe Him. So tonight, wherever you are, let's believe that our words have great power because it is Him who has said us, it is Him who has done it. So Father, tonight a release of the word of the Lord, the prayer of our God. Let His strength come to us tonight as it did with them. Let grace be upon us, that boldness be upon us like never before. I mean, a boldness, such an assurance that we feel the strength of God tonight. Not our own strength. Zerubbabel couldn't move. It was the word of the Lord that was to the mountain. Grace, grace unto that mountain. It is a plain. Father, I thank you for that.
About this night, that it would be a night of not just hearing the word, but it beginning to absolutely change us tonight. So I just, even as Jay shared tonight, and look, there's some of you here tonight, you've never received grace, period. And tonight you need to say that some of you need to move to that place of great grace. But I tell you what the Lord wants to do with the church. He wants it to have grace. He wants it to absolutely overcome every hindrance, everything that hides the glory of God in His people's lives and in His community. He wants grace to come above it. So I'm going to open up a word of prayer. I want Pastor Brandon to lead us back into some worship tonight. And I want to encourage you to begin to say, Lord, take me further tonight. If I've known grace, take me to great grace. And I tell you what, for me, even as Jay was speaking, that word about grace, about what it would overcome, over every fear. Boldness is about courage in the face of fear. And just please note that the place was shaken. Some of us are praying that God shakes nothing in our lives. And we don't like being shaken at all. God say, would you let me shake you? Would you let me shake your circumstances? Not for your defeat, not for the enemy's victory, but for your victory. Because after that shaking, there comes a cry in your heart and a seeking of the Lord like you've never found before. And I will fill you with great grace. And then just someplace as we pray, I want to at the end of this service pray, Lord, grace on everything you've called this church to be, everything you've called these families to be. Lord, let it be so. So, Father, I ask right now, Lord, as we enter in, Father, as we go from grace to great grace, to, Lord, grace that we've never, ever seen or known that overcomes every mountain. Lord, we believe tonight that, Lord, in this place, there is no such thing as defeat. There's no such thing as a no from you, but Father, Lord, there is your word, your way, not our way, oh God. And Lord, some of us in this room, we've been shaken in places we never thought we were going to be shaken. And yet, Father, you want to develop a cry in our hearts like we have never had for great grace to come upon us. And Lord, there is something that you are, Lord, I can feel it like the floodgates are ready to open for a grace upon grace that has never been known, oh God, that has no glory in it for ourselves. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with you, for you to break out and be seen like you've never been seen past every mountain that's ever been put in our lives and our community. So, Lord, would you begin to prepare us now? And I'm going to ask you, as you're beginning to pray now, we're going to pray for that grace, that great grace. and that to finish with shouts of grace over every mountain tonight. I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord, say, Lord, tonight I am fully yours. There's nothing I won't surrender. There's nothing of praise I won't offer you. I am yours to the fullest tonight. Lord, let it be so. Let it be so. As we worship, I'll lead us in a prayer, and there might be one or two that are going to be led to speak out. We'll have microphones in the aisles. We're going to ask you just to move into that. We'll just agree together and allow the Lord to work that great grace among us today. We praise your name, God. Lord, pour out that grace like never before in this place, oh God. Let's worship him. Let's seek his face. Let's prepare for our hearts for all he wants to say.
How about just lifting our hands for a moment? The last few moments of us time together tonight. How about just with me, grace, grace. Yeah, come on now. One more time. Grace, grace. Good, I like it. We're saying to the mountain, grace, grace. Beautiful. It is the word of the Lord. For Zerubbabel, it's the word of the Lord for those of us that are going to finish the will, the call of God. We say to every mountain, grace, grace. Yeah, that's it. A little hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, yeah. It goes on to say that the people rejoice. Let's rejoice a little bit. Yeah, yes. Yay, yeah, yay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hit those drums. Hallelujah. Hit those keys. Play that. The bass is in here. Play that thing. Yeah. All right. How about being seated for a few moments? You good with that? Great. Beautiful, Pastor Sean. Any word in words, my friend? No, good. You want to stay? Only going to be a few minutes. If you want to stay, you can stay. If you want to leave, you can leave. Good. If you want to stay, you want to go sit with your hubby, you can, because I'm going to come over to him in a minute. Yeah. So sometimes you don't know how to ask, you know, I don't want to be someone who asks more than I should. I don't want to be someone who believes more than I should. I want to stay within what would be right. Not so much a comfort zone, but just don't want to overextend in any way. You just don't. You're such a precious and gracious woman. Even in your home and your marriage, you're so careful not to push things around and just to stay within this confinement. It isn't because your family so much raised you that way. It's just the way you are. But I want you to know, my sister, the Lord is coming to awaken your heart to the reality of his love and his passion for you. Awaken your heart to the amount of him he longs to lay within your life, the amount of his grace, of his hope, of his dream, of his love, of his passion. And do not think that the way you live and the way things are is the way they're going to stay. Do not think that. Because the Lord is coming to strengthen your heart, to strengthen your life. It is though you've walked, you stand upright, and I love the little bump there, but that was just me. You stand upright, but it feels as though you're like the woman who's been bent over most of her life, and all she can think about is where she's been and where she can't go, where she's her steps of yesterday, the day before, but never really being able to see the hope of the future. And she meets him, and he touches her, and she rises up, and for the first time, she sees the future and the hope thereof. And my sister, the Lord's coming with strength and with great grace into your life tonight so that you might understand that he has hope for you, for your home, for your life more than you've ever could have dreamed. He's dreamed before you were born. He hoped before your mother conceived you. He believed in you before anyone even knew you, that you would be a young woman that would be such a splendor, a rose of sharing amongst the people. And the Lord will begin to do this to let you know his heart and his passion for you and the strength of his word for you and the strength of his hope in you. And I'm telling you, it's like your household's been like on a 20-watt bulb, and the Lord's coming to crank it up. He's coming to turn up the knob. And to cause the light to expand. The light comes. You have to know that men hide from the light because they don't want their deeds exposed. That's why they hide. And so the Lord's not coming to expose the deeds or your husband or the household and the little places in it that no one wants anybody to know, those kind of things. He's not doing that. But what he's doing is he's increasing the light so that there's a greater awareness of who he is. He's the light thereof, and he's increasing himself. You have to know this. You've got to know this. If you remember nothing of this, if you hear this again and you can't remember it all, remember this one thing. The Lord's ear is open to your prayer. He's open to your cry. He's open to your whisper. And there's times you're not sure, how should I ask him? I don't want too much from him. I know a lot of people need him, but I don't want to step over my bounds. And you live in this confined space within the kingdom of God. I want you to know, yo, he's extending the borders big time, extending them out so that you have liberty with him that you've never, ever known. Please know that he hears your slowest, quietest, even your wordless prayers. He even hears those. This is the beginning. I know you have family and all of this. But you have to know that this is the day of the visitation of the Lord. This is the day of the hope of thy God. This is the day of the beginning of the Lord not only redeeming and restoring, but the Lord moving everything forward. You can go home, and I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what he looks like. I don't care how it appears. You can walk in your home, walk in where you live, and you can within your heart know that I may take a look at it like now, like this now, because it'll never be like this again. So this is the turning day of the Lord upon both of your lives. And you see, the Lord has had great delight in the activity he has. He knows that there's been some wrestling. He likes that. Listen, he loved Jacob. We even heard his name tonight, and oftentimes he'll refer back to Jacob in Israel, even though Jacob was dead. The Lord had fun wrestling with that hard head, if you don't mind. Listen, don't feel bad. My aunt called me Jacob all my life. I kept saying to her, my name is Jay. I think she was more understanding than I knew. And so it was this Jacob, though, who said to the Lord, well, if you bring me back to the place you promised, then I'll believe that you're my God. The Lord heard that and just kind of snickered, because he was a chosen one, my brother, as you are. And so the Lord has had to wrestle some things, and it has been a bit frustrating, though you never left the second row. You wanted to go to the fourth, to the fifth, out the door a couple times, but you really held yourself, which isn't easy for you. You're a better runner than you are a man who stands still. But the word to Moses always was, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It was never run and see it. It was never hide and see it. It was stand still and see it. And the Lord came in great might. But it was in the dark hour of the night that the east wind was released. It was when nobody could see, nobody could know. And the Lord allowed them to toil all night long, but he was delivering them and they didn't see it. And my brother, it's been the same way. The Lord has come with his grace in the dark hour. And in the nighttime when you laid your head down is when he moved. He didn't move in your visible sight. He didn't move when you could see him, when you could watch him. He moved when you couldn't, so that you would be a man who would trust him even when you couldn't see him. So see the work of the Lord, and in this place he will raise you up. Even when your time is finished and you think, well, now is my moving time, it'll just be the beginning time in this house. But the Lord, he is digging the hole deep. He's made it wide when you came, and when he fit you in it, it didn't feel like like it was the right fit in the beginning because the hole was much larger than you thought, because the Lord was intending for the root system to grow wider and wider and deeper and deeper. And there'll be a day, my friend, your love for the Word and your love to be a deliverer and your love to be a man who touches the broken and the maimed and the halt, and you're wanting to see young men and men come to the Lord, hoorah kind of stuff. You've been wanting that, and that's been the cry of your life. The Lord will see it through to its end. But he had to fully do the work with you. He had to repair the issues with your dad. He had to repair the issues your dad had with your grandfather. And he had to repair the issues that your grandfather had with his father. Four generations of trouble between fathers and sons. The Lord had to heal it fully before he could bring you into it. But he's been working marvelously in you. He has laid his grace, and now great grace is coming to your heart, where he had to peel away some of the pain and some of the difficulties and some of the scar tissue. He's done that. And what he's done is he's reached his hand in there, and the inner parts of it, he's caused it to beat vibrantly. Even your marriage has proven to be true. Even the love between you is like it's never been before. It used to be only one kind of love, but now it's a love in every place, every room, everything. It has been the work of the Lord upon the two of you. And my sisters, don't think it's all about him, because you were the gift of God to this man. He knows that. And the beauty and the splendor that the Lord has placed within you is great. And you have to know this, that the Lord makes a promise to you this day that he will not forsake your own personal family, but he will chase every one of them down. Even the ones who disbelieve and the ones who say he doesn't exist and the ones who deny him, the ones who turn their back on you, the ones that you love dearly who still talk about you, do not think he will leave them as they are. But because of you, they don't know this, and you can't tell them, but you will know. Because of you, the Lord will seek them out. Even the ones who are in prison and in chains, and the ones who have dug holes and buried themselves in the ground, even them the Lord will come to. The Lord's laying over your lives a sickling iron, and he will use both of you as harvesters in the kingdom of God. You don't think the Lord would leave you out after that kind of a word? The two brothers here, the soulmates, if you will, the womb mates, the two of you, so much alike in so many ways. And so you have to know that it was a great delight for me, and I'm speaking to you, but I'm saying it over the two of you. You're not the only two, but we're just doing the two of you tonight. You don't know what a great delight is in me when I come back and to look at the men that I've believed for and stood with him and believed with him, to see if the grace of God was there and to see if they would allow the Lord to do his work, or if they would resist and fight and resist and fight. You know, most of the time I come back to a place and I'm sad, and when I look at somebody and they're wanting to hear the word of the Lord, but I can't go back there again because I'm going to say the very same thing I said before, and they're not ready for it. They haven't really worked well with it. But it's been a real pleasure to come here and look at the two of you. And so, my brother, your cry, and both of you, it's really her prayer, dude. You know that she won't leave you alone, man. She'll harp on your face, and she'll get up in your grill, and she'll gnaw on your ear if she has to. She won't let you go to sleep if she has to. Even if you turn around and say, get away from me, you used to be a real tough guy with her, don't forget about it. You fall asleep, she'll still gnaw on your ear, and you'll make like you're sleeping just to kind of get away. She's really been given to you, but she, because she's got a hold of the King of all kings, and she knows that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what your father, mother, brothers, anyone thought, even you. And so she's been the one that stood between heaven and hell, between prison and real life. She's the one that stood between the hope and the running away. She's the one who stood between you seeing the fulfillment of the will of God or doing your own will. She really has been the one. I'm just saying this to acknowledge her in all of this. But my brother, you've done well, though. You've humbled yourself. It's been so beautiful. You have. You've turned to her and said, you're right. I'm sorry. Man, that was tough. You'd rather eat your shoe than do that. I mean, you would rather go outside and eat dirt than do that. That was just so tough. But you closed the doors, and you said to her, you know, just between me and you, I'm sorry. Like, don't tell anybody I'm doing this. You know, so I'm telling everybody. That's just how it works. But you don't realize, though, that it's with the humble that the Lord gives grace. And it's with the humble that he adds grace. And it's with the proud that he resists them. And so, my brother, the Lord has come. And as I says with him, I see the grace of God coming in measures you've never known. And in this house, he has brought you to be one of the builders, one of the young men who will grow to be an old man, one of the ones who are now one of the servants. It is true. He's brought you here to be a servant, a burden bearer, an armor bearer, and a standard bearer. He's brought you here for that reason, that you would ultimately be a cupbearer. Here are those four in the order they came. But he's brought you here that you might represent to the young men. This is the servant of the Lord. Boy, that's something. You work 70 hours a week. It doesn't matter. I do that as unto him. I do this as unto him. I love her as unto him. I love him as unto him. All of it's unto him. The Lord is making you a whole burnt offering before him, a man who lives ascending unto his God. And out of your life, even now, the aroma of what your life become, the Lord is taking great delight in it. And so this is the beginning as he moves upon you in greater discipline towards seeking him, a greater discipline toward prayer, a greater discipline towards your brothers. You're going to be one of those guys who seeks out their brother. You're going to call him and say, how's it going? How's so-and-so? I haven't really seen him. Don't worry. I'm going after him. You'll pray for them. You'll believe it. You'll go knock on the door because you got that kind of strength. Hey, what are you doing here? I came to see you. Well, I'm doing something. I don't care. I came to see you. Yeah, I know, but I'm busy. Well, I came to see you. You're not busy enough. And they can't turn you down, dude. I mean, there's no way. Yeah. See, because what's happened is, without you realizing it, the Lord is blending the two of you. And so you're getting that same precious tenacity as she has had with you. And you have to know this, the Lord is going to use you. This all goes through him to use you in the lives of couples, especially marriages that are broken, single families, marriages that have opportunity for restoration. Because like them, the two of you are rocky and rolly and you've been through it, man. It just rumbles at your house, like it rumbles at their house. The four of you together has got to be an unbelievable, like, rumbling event. I mean, WWF has nothing. That's not really Bible, and that's not really the Lord. I'm just saying it. I mean, that's nothing. If you want to see rumble in the jungle, come over here to these guys' houses. I mean, it's rumbly there, baby. I like it. I like rumble. I don't like quiet. I like shaking. But sometimes it's shook and rumbled in the wrong ways, you know. But the Lord has really come and fulfilled it. I'm just saying all this so that everyone knows that you've come through. And you've come through. And the Lord has declared his victory. The victory of God is set over your lives and set over your marriage and set over your family. The Lord has done the very thing he intended to do. Don't think he's through. Never look and say, I've arrived. Always be sure that the safest place for a man is face down. Our Lord came humble. A humble man, and he was the Lord, to the place of humility. Always choose and take the place of humility, and God will exalt you. So, my brother, I love this about you. You know, you have your hands full. Everyone knows that. No, that doesn't mean the Lord doesn't know that. You know, so I get, you know, I can see that. Sometimes at the end of the day, sometimes at the end of the day, you're just exhausted because she has so much to her. You know what I mean? She's an amazing young woman. You know, she has more height, width, depth, length. As she has it, when you got her, you got every dimension possible. You did, though. You did. Yeah. And sometimes you think, Lord, you know, you're stretching me, but I'm taller than her, but I think I might need more than I got. It's all these things that you think. I love the way you are, that you just think. You really do. You just got this mind's going all the time. Even now when I'm talking to you, you got this mind going. It's just how you are. But the Lord's coming to grace you, my friend, because there's a depth of the purpose of God and the call of God upon your life. More than you know. And you haven't necessarily feared it, but you didn't want to question it. You didn't really want to ask. You didn't really want to inquire. It wasn't that you didn't have it, but I like this about you. So even though you've got this height about you and you have this confidence about you, there's a place within you that is yet uncertain. There's a place within you that's not sure. Men would say, oh, that guy has a confident man, but that's not the reality. You're just not sure that you would be able to do something if he asked you. You're not sure. But I want to tell you right from this point, my friend, that the Lord, he is the one that calls a man. He is the one that sets a man. It is he who sets up. He's the one who sets the solitaire. He's the one that establishes a man. It is his idea in a generation to set someone. And he will always give the man or the woman the necessary thing. And my brother, the Lord, even this day, is increasing his grace upon your life. You will always walk with a sense of an inability to fulfill the will of God. It will cause you to need him more than most men. It'll cause you to have to live upon your knees with a fresh desire for him. But the Lord is coming to increase his word and his administration and ministry upon your life. He's coming to excel his spirit within you. You have a grandmother and a great-grandmother who believe for God to move upon their seed. And the Lord has come to answer those prayers in your life, that not only you, but your seed as well will go. And the two of you, the Lord will use immensely to be kingdom changers, to be kingdom providers. He will use the two of you to be a couple who cause the world to be turned upside down. You are yet in incubation. You are yet at the beginning stages. Your latter years will be the greatest years. When you're 50, 60, and 70, you will see things you didn't think you could ever see. You will hope for things you never thought you'd hope. And a generation that you touch now will follow you. They will be young adults, and they will be grown people, and they will say, that was our lighthouse. Those were the ones who guided us. That was the one. And they'll come and they'll name their names, and you won't even remember them, because the Lord is going to cause that large of a harvest out of the seed that you have planted. He has even set the two of you, you, my brother, and my sister, as set as seeds to a generation, that out of your lives he will harvest them, their seed, and their seed seed. We have got to release out, so please stand with me. Thank you.
Moment of prayer, and ask that the Lord would use you to speak to somebody else's heart this week. Would you take a moment to pray that prayer? Lord, I ask that you would anoint every person here, Lord, with the grace to not only see the glory in their own life, but even this week, to be a messenger of your grace. Lord, a word from the Lord to someone who needs it. Lord, we humbly ask it as we continue to seek your face and listen to your words this week. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, go, allowing that grace to use you for somebody else. And remember, we'll be here again tomorrow night at 7 as we continue to seek the Lord. God bless you as you go.